Guys, ready for the word tonight? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Let's get started. We're going to get into some stuff tonight. We're going to pick it up where we left off last Thursday. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul writes in verse 1, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Paul said, "I'm going to come to visions and revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. That's what I pray over my life all the time. I expect to have supernatural interactions, divine connection with the Almighty Creator God. He says, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man," he goes on in verse 4, "how he was caught up into paradise. And heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter." Paul said, "When I was caught up to the third heaven, I saw things that I'm not allowed to release to this natural realm." God showed me things. I believe God showed Paul some of the nuts and bolts of creation. And he said, "I'm not allowed to tell you these things I saw up in the third heaven." Now we're going to get to that again before we're done tonight. But there's some things regarding the realm of the spirit that natural man is not allowed to understand. Only spiritual man. And God is raising up in the last days of people to understand that the kingdom of heaven is not someday over in the ever after. But the kingdom of heaven is what he wants every believer, born again believer in the last days, to learn how to operate in. Now Paul said, "I was caught up to the third heaven," right? So me being somewhat mathematically experienced, I recognize that if there's a third heaven, there must be a first heaven and a second heaven. Now, did y'all follow that? I didn't lose you, did I, Sharon? That wasn't too far out there, was it?
Not yet.
Amen. Not yet. We're going to build you up slowly to what we're getting to tonight. Amen. Paul said, "I was caught up to the third heaven." That means there's a first and a second heaven. And in the past, we've traditionally in church defined the three heavens as, you know, the earth being the first heaven, where man dwells. Then we would say that outer space would be the second heaven, where all the asteroids and the other planets and suns are, the stars. And then we would say out beyond this universe is then the third heaven, layered on top of this, which is where the throne of God is. That's where heaven exists. And that was all produced out of a mentality really hundreds of years ago, if not thousands of years ago, that man had such a connection to the recognition of physical substance and the physical universe, they could not comprehend that anything would exist outside of the seen realm. See, you know, 2,000 years ago, they didn't understand about atoms. They didn't understand about radio waves. Everything man understood 2,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago was based on what they could see and what they could touch, what they could measure. So when the theories about the three heavens, that we still study commentaries written hundreds of years ago about the three heavens, it was all based on a mindset of man that could only understand or comprehend what he could physically experience with his five natural senses. But yet last week we started finding out there's some things that exist that you can't see and what you can't touch. I mean, we started talking about what you can see, or we talked about what you can see. So we found out that the light alone that exists that you can see is a very small fragment of all the light that exists. I mean, it's like a thousandth of a percent of all the light is what you can see. And right now through this building are going pictures of Channel 18, and words and music from the radio channels are coming through, and satellites or signals are being beamed all through here right now, with hundreds if not thousands of channels and stations going through right now that you can't see. All based on light, electromagnetic energy. And so a man that says, I won't believe it if I can't see it, is being very, how can I say, short-sighted. That he's only going to believe what his natural receiver of an eye can perceive, when in fact it's highly limited. Then we started talking about touching. Remember, Thomas was the one that said, "Unless I can touch and see, you know, the scars that Jesus has, I won't believe." And Jesus said, "You know, blessed are those who will believe that haven't touched or seen. And we started talking about matter. Y'all remember that? And this is where I lost a few of you. And we started talking about that science has known for now well over 100 years that matter is made up of atoms. Well, a little over 100 years, probably 120 years. That matter is made up of little particles called atoms that are made up of other particles themselves, as we've come to understand. We find it that in studying the atom is made up of little bitty particles that themselves, if you break them down, are made of pure energy. I mean, they break down into energy. So when God said, let there be light, we found out all these particles are made of light substance. Then when God said, let there be light, He spoke into place the energy that makes up every atom in the entire universe. And these little particles that make up the atoms, the electrons, neutrons, protons, all the other subatomic particles that exist, they really, when you put together the structure of the atom, that atom is actually almost pure vacuum. We started finding out if you take the gold atom, that in fact, that if you were to blow the gold atom up to the size of, say, where the nucleus was the size of a basketball, that the electrons themselves would be the size of a grain of sand, a few of them circling around that, like 3.5 miles apart. And everything within that atom was just pure vacuum. I don't want to go into in-depth, reviewing this, but we're going to lay the groundwork. And what we found out is what we think is solid material, like this pulpit, we think it's so solid, is actually it's a whole lot of them, but these widely spaced little particles of energy that are held together in specific positions that create between these particles energy fields that give that pulpit the feeling and appearance of being solid, when in fact that pulpit itself is almost pure emptiness, pure vacuum. It's merely a energy defined, it's a field that energy is defined that reflects light and rejects other particles of like type. Because my hand is almost pure energy, but it's the same type of energy matter that makes up this pulpit. My hand cannot penetrate unless I really apply a lot of force, you understand. Cannot penetrate that pulpit. But in fact, if not for the energy fields, they would pass through one another without ever recognizing the other one was there. And we found that if you take all the vacuum out of Mount Everest, it would fit inside a Kroger bag. And if you took all the vacuum out of the entire earth and everything in it, it would fit inside a Rupp Arena. That the earth itself is almost pure emptiness. But yet, because it's made up of energy fields that reflect light and reflect other similar energy-defined matter, it makes it appear as solid and without break in between. The point of this is within the space defined by this pulpit, there is room for infinite more structures to exist within the natural space. Not to mention within the space of that pulpit, there may be other dimensions that stuff could exist within. Now, the reason I'm teaching this, we're going to start teaching on the kingdom of God and the three heavens. And what I first got to do is, before we get into this, break down your dependency and connection on this one heavenly realm. This first heaven that we live in. This first heaven we live in, oh, I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose you. But this first heaven realm we live in is more of an illusion than it is genuine. Scientists, now understand what I'm telling you tonight. I'm not telling you theory, I'm telling you fact for the most part. Scientists for over 100 years, including Einstein, recognized that the universe we live in is more of a holographic projection produced by tightly defined energy structures than it is a real substance established creation. Inside the chair you're sitting is room for an infinite number of other chairs to exist if it was made up of a different substance. And what we're going to talk about in this is, I don't believe that the three heavens that God defined are earth, outer space, and then out beyond that heaven. That was produced by a mindset that did not understand the nature of matter. They thought you had to stack them because they could not comprehend of multiple dimensions or the illusion of substance. I believe the three heavens are stacked interdimensionally. The kingdom of God, it doesn't say the kingdom of God is out beyond the universe. It says the kingdom of God is within you, it's in your heart and even in your mouth. I believe there's an interdimensional connection between heaven and us right now, that connection takes place inside of us. We have a connection to the Spirit of God inside of us. But He lives in another dimension that we've not been given physical sensors to detect. We've only been given spiritual sensors to detect. Have any of you guys ever heard God in your spirit? Most of you probably have heard God at one time or another tell you to do something like go to this church. Bless Pastor Jack. Amen. Tell him you love him. You guys have heard that stuff before, right? That voice always says, Pastor Jack is right. Listen. You've heard that voice. You did not hear it with natural ears. You heard it with a different set of senses that are inside of you, and it's connected to the kingdom of heaven. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have spirit-to-spirit connection with God Himself. Are you following me on that? And tonight we're going to take it a step further and stretch your brains even further in this teaching. But the point is to get us out of this mindset that God is so far away, we have to really work to reach Him. He's right here. And the matter is of such substantial makeup that it's impossible to change it, when in fact it's just energy. Now, can I take this just another step for you right now? We understand that there are three heavens. And if you've heard me teach, you know, for very long, you've heard me talk about how we as triune beings have connections to all three heavens. The third heaven is the realm of the Spirit. Well, we are spirits. We're seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We have spirit-to-spirit connection with God right now, if you're born again. We possess a soul, the second heaven, a mind that has the ability to access what's going on in that realm of thought and emotion, the realm where the devil operates. And we have a physical body. All three of those, how many know the third heaven is above the second heaven, which is above the first heaven? Right? I mean, the third heaven is a higher level than the first heaven. Well, guess what? Spirit is of a higher level than soul. And soul is of a higher level than physical. I'm going somewhere with this. See, we are spirit and soul, but we live in the physical. And because we are spirit and soul, then spirit and soul become more dominant than and of more importance and power than the physical. And the physical must serve spirit and soul. And we as beings, you know, when there's times in your life, especially with people that don't know Jesus, where they're so focused on materialism, materialistic things. The car, the house, the jewelry, you know, the clothes, whatever, you know, material things. Gotta have. Wealth is a source of getting what you need, right? But, you know, I've discovered I've probably had everything I've ever, you know, for the most part, wanted. And there's little things I'd probably like to have that I think it'd be neat to have. But as far as physical things, there's really nothing that I want. My family says, what do you want for Christmas? I says, I don't know. There's nothing I feel like I need. Unless you can buy me a new Maserati, you know, what's the next step? And what I've come to experience or recognize in my life, the most important things in my life are not possessions, they are relationships. See, the realm of the soul is of higher value than the realm of the physical. And God is more concerned about what we do in developing and exercising our opportunities in the realm of the soul than He is what we do in the realm of the physical. God is more concerned about what you do in relationships than what you manifest in home furnishings. All the home furnishings are fine. But He's more concerned about how you treat your brother. A new wardrobe does not fulfill the commandments of God. It's part of the blessings. Amen. But loving your neighbor does. Loving God does. So soul becomes of higher priority than the physical. Now get this. We as beings that have been raised up in the physical have again put all of our importance, all of our focus on what we can see and touch and feel, when in fact it's of the third level of importance as far as the stacking of the heavens and God's priorities are. The physical, of the three realms of all existence, is the least important, and it is subservient to the other two. And science is now finding out that all of the physical is tied back to the consciousness of man. That man's thoughts and actions affect the physical creation itself. Jesus had that understanding, that we've been given dominion over the first heaven creation. Amen. So you guys should be with me so far in understanding that there's three levels of existence, right? We know of three major heavenly realms. And we should be also understanding now that the physical realm we put all our faith in is really not all that. So turn to the person next to you and say, "You ain't all that." You guys got too much joy out of it. That's all I can... We are just energy fields that God gave us a body to interact in this natural realm is, but we are primarily a spiritual being, and God wants us operating in that area of spiritual understanding and activity. Connection to God Himself. That's of our highest level of priority. Now, we were talking about these inner dimensions. Now, let's go into a little more science here right away, and I'll try to take it easy starting off. But your head will be spinning before we're done, I assure you. We know that the universe we live in, this first heaven realm we live in, I believe the first heaven is actually made up of three, and we'll even define four dimensions. We understand we live in, y'all understand three dimensions? This realm we live in, there is height, width, and depth. This is a three-dimensional realm we live in. Then we can even define it as a four-dimensional realm if we add in time, right? Because right now, if I'm right here at this moment in time, three-dimensionally, I'm right here. But if I step over here in another fourth dimension, now I'm over here in the fourth element of this dimension, which is time. But understand, time connects all the other attributes of this three-dimensional realm. I want you now to imagine there are other dimensions. That heaven is not way up in the ever after, you know, way beyond, that it's almost impossible. See, too many people, because they have that mindset, they go to pray and they're trying to project their thinking way up there, billions of light years away. Oh God, if you can hear me, answer my prayer. I mean, how have you had that mindset before? You're trying to pray way beyond the stars. I want you to get free of that mindset of heaven. That was an old doctrine established by not understanding multiple dimension capacity. I want you to imagine that God lives in, let's call it, a fifth dimension. In fact, quantum physicists have already found that there's at least 27 more other dimensions if not hundreds or thousands of more dimensions that they have proven exist. 27 proven dimensions where stuff comes in and out of in a supernatural fashion. Now, let's define the realm of God, just for the sake of this. Now, I would really put it above the fifth dimension, but for the sake of this teaching, we'll call it the fifth dimension where God dwells. Now, what I want you to understand is what is of a higher dimension can see over the other dimension. Amen? But you can't see it. You can only see the dimensions below what you're operating in. And I might throw in, if you want to see really over this realm, you better get spiritually minded, because you get spiritually minded, it lets you see over the realm you live in with a whole lot less limitation. That's why you get spiritually minded, you get on the realm of spirit, the prophetic will kick in, and you're not limited by time anymore. Words of knowledge will come. You're not limited by exposure anymore. You now have an interdimensional connection to other knowledge. Are you following me? Through God as the, and the Spirit of God as the intermediary between these. And so, to teach some of these lessons tonight, I've asked for somebody that really probably knows more about the realm of quantum physics than I do. So, you can get Flatland in operation. I'm going to ask Dr. Quantum to help me teach this next section of this lesson tonight. And he's going to talk about interdimensional connections. Have you got it? Play that thing. Now let me explain what this is about. Dr. Quantum here is the teacher. Amen. And he's demonstrating that if you want to compare other dimensions, the oversight they have over other dimensions below them, then he's using this theoretical land called Flatland, which is only two-dimensional. He's going to show that if you're three-dimensional, you have power over that which is second-dimensional. Yet they may be unaware of your existence. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about Flatland here. So go ahead. Let me point out, these aren't Christian videos. These are actually scientifically based videos that are put together by people who understand other dimensions, that they exist. But can you see the spiritual significance of what you just saw? That if you're at a higher dimension, you can actually oversee what's underneath and interact in a way that it'd be impossible for those within that realm to understand or comprehend. And where we saw the little circle man get released and become a sphere, and he said, "I never knew," is really synonymous to us becoming spiritually minded, realizing what we have access to, what we have power over and connection with. And the whole world's out there not knowing, caught up in what they can see and touch, and not realizing that there's a whole other realm where to exist in. There's a whole other place of being in the presence of God, in the river of God, amen, connected to the Spirit of God, the gifts flowing, that take us to a realm they can't comprehend. But as long as we're limited by natural reliance and connection and focus, we can't go there. We got to become what I call third heaven minded to operate in that realm. And too many Christians are wanting God to interact in their lives and do things, yet they're still first heaven minded. And if you stay first heaven minded, you cannot experience third heaven results. Amen. And what we're finding out in the written out, see, I'm teaching you some scientific things tonight that they're not Christian based. But yet we're finding out they are Christian truths. They were mysteries we just didn't know. But God has that in the Word all along. And God is unveiling, just like He's unveiling the church in the last days, He's unveiling the very makeup of creation in these last days that I believe are going to demonstrate and prove the existence of God. And in fact, the more science is delving into the building blocks of creation and how this universe operates, they are coming to the recognition it had to have been created. I've been on videos all afternoon on quantum physics, quantum mechanics videos that are out there that are saying quantum mechanics proves the existence of a creator God. Because quantum mechanics requires the existence of the infinite and an intelligence behind the infinite to exist. And what they're finding out, actually, even in the realm of basic building blocks of creation, it appears there's an intelligence behind holding it all together. Now, if we go to Hebrews, go to Hebrews chapter 1. Y'all still with me? Didn't lose you on that one, did we, Sharon? You'll be all right if I pick on you tonight, won't you? Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. It says, talking about Jesus, verse 2, hath in these last days, how many know we're in the last days? We're in the last of the last days. Spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also he made the worlds. I believe in the last of the last days, he's showing more and more about how he made the worlds. Here he declared it to the writer of Hebrews that he made the worlds. Amen. And they had to take it by faith, but now we're seeing through science they are proving it true. And don't get caught up in all this junk about evolution and all this other garbage that's out there. Science knows those are not true. They have disproved evolution time and time again, yet, but they hold on to those declared theories because they know otherwise they would have to admit that God is God. Verse 3, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. It says he upholds all things by the rhema of his power. God himself. They are finding out that there is some force holding all of creation, every atom together supernaturally. That there are particles that exist out of other dimensions that seem to be holding and re-energizing every atom of creation. And here it says, God, through Jesus, upholds all of creation by the word of his power. Without the word being in operation, all of creation would fly apart. And I might say, if you have the word in you, you can speak the word of authority out of a charged spirit. You can alter the very fabric of creation itself. See, God, when he spoke this creation into existence, and he spoke this pulpit into existence, his word defined the matter that make it up. And his word holds those particles of energy in place, intact, right, through his authority. Without God's word and hand on this universe, it would dissolve into nothing but a flash of energy. And he gave us his authority. Anything in there? Let's say this was a bar of, you know, very strong steel that I'm holding. And let's say for some reason I needed that bar bent. And I couldn't do it through physical strength. Are you following me? In the natural, realizing that was solid steel, you would think, that's a solid bar of steel. There is no way I can bend it. But through understanding it's nothing but energy particles held to place by the word of dominion, and you've been given the same dominion, you can command an energy to be restructured in a way that it has to bend into position. Pastor Jack, I think that's just ludicrous. No, that's spiritual. I couldn't tell you how many times I've had to use authority to change natural items. Bolts that won't come free, speak to them. Appliances that won't work, speak to them. The story that just jumps into my mind is a time years ago, I think I told you this a while back, Pastor Lee. Y'all remember Pastor Lee here during the Covenant Conference? He had this old piece of junk vehicle. He drove it to the church, left overnight, and it froze. The freeze plugs blew out. And he didn't know anything about cars. He's a young, halfway brain-fried new Christian. But he understood faith. And he'd done so many drugs and everything, he just toasted his brain. But he was into faith, man. He was getting a hold of it. And he went to get his car and they filled it up with water and they bought this antifreeze to put in it. He said, I'm going to put water in first. They put this water in. It all runs out on the ground. He's praying over it. I command this car fixed. I command it fixed in Jesus' name. They pour more water. It pours out on the ground. He does this, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 times. It pours out on the ground. And everybody's saying, give up. It's broke. And he said, I command you fixed in Jesus' name. And he said, put the antifreeze in it. Now understand, this time he didn't have any money. That antifreeze was like liquid gold to him. And they put the antifreeze in, and it fixed. It never leaked again. Through faith, something was restructured in that engine. Those either the freeze plugs put back or the crack in the block, whatever, were fixed supernaturally by the power of faith and authority. Well, those energy fields, whatever had to take place, just moved back into the right position. We've been given authority to move mountains. Jesus understood you're just commanding energy to move by a higher level of authority out of a realm of a dimension higher. Am I toasting your brain yet tonight? Well, I mentioned at the beginning of the night, we read in 2 Corinthians 12 where Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven and he was shown things he wasn't allowed to speak about, right? Unspeakable information. Well, we're going to talk about that in the next segment of this teaching. And I talked about last week about the structure of the atom. Remember that? And we talked about how, you know, there's a nucleus of the atom, neutrons and protons, you know, together, and the electrons move around that atom in a, you know, in different orbits and define the position and structure of matter. Well, about 100 years ago, just under 100 years ago, scientists started experimenting with the atom and experimenting with the particles that make up the atom. And they started discovering some interesting things about the physical particles. Now, how many of you growing up went to school and you learned about atoms? Probably everybody here, right? And they told you about that solar system model of the atom. But the truth is, those that wrote the books didn't tell you the whole truth. And they've known for nearly 100 years that the atom is a whole lot stranger than we've been taught and operates in unpredictable ways that you can't imagine. And so just to go the next notch in this teaching tonight, I'm going to have Dr. Quantum teach again on some aspects of what we would call quantum physics or quantum mechanics. And so y'all buckle your seatbelts on this one, because we're about to fry your circuit breakers. And Psalm, if I tell you to pause in between, pause, and I may teach as we go through this, but go ahead and start the next video. Glory to God. There we go. Let me explain what that was talking about. And this is an experiment that's been done for almost 100 years and repeated thousands and thousands of times. Albert Einstein, after he had developed the theory of relativity and proven it true, spent the last 30 years of his life trying to explain this phenomenon and never could. It became the question of all quantum physicists, and still today they do not understand why this happens. Now let me explain what they're saying is they're saying a single electron or particle that works with all the subatomic particles for the most part, when fired through two slits, actually goes through both at the same time. And then when it hits the wall, it only hits in one location. It acts like a wave going through the slits, but when it hits the back wall, was called the wall, returns back to acting like a single particle. And what they've called this is the wave function of matter. And they found out that the subatomic particles that make up matter, when you're not looking at them, act in the fashion of waves. They act like a particle but yet carry on some attributes of waves that you can't tell where it is, and it can actually be in multiple places at the same time. In fact, the next video we're going to watch here after a bit is going to talk about they've proven that matter can exist simultaneously in many different locations on a quantum level. And so they found out that when you get down to the basic building blocks of matter, they defy all the known laws of physics. You guys have heard of Sir Isaac Newton. Well, those that have studied much physics have understood that Sir Isaac Newton is known as the father of, they call it Newtonian physics. And Newton was the first one to theorize that everything in the universe that takes place can be analyzed, tabulated, and calculated. And through understanding the laws of physics that make up things, you can predict every single event that takes place in the universe. I mean, we understand the laws of physics. We can talk, we can predict, you know, how the moons and the planets of in the solar system, what they're going to do and be at any one place in time. And it was thought up to 100 years ago that everything in this universe followed precisely Newtonian physics rules. They would even study, you know, very small particles and say they have to follow Newtonian law. And when they started doing studies in the quantum realm, they found out that they do not follow the laws of known physics. They follow a whole different set of physics rules. Now, let me go ahead and tell you what I believe is going on in that level. I believe when you get down to the atomic level and really the subatomic level and those energy particles that make things up, I believe we're actually seeing the spiritual components that God released to make up this natural universe. That everything made up of atoms on a macro, on a higher level, follows the laws of physics. But when they get down to the lowest levels, they follow a whole different set of laws, which means they're out of a whole other universe. They're out of a whole other area of creation that follows different rules. And what they found out, when you get down to the atomic level, that the laws governing location, mass, and time no longer apply. Just to tell you some of the things they've discovered. They've discovered that in some cases they can fire two particles at different speeds, but they'll arrive at the same place at the same time, and somewhere along the process they exchanged time. Particles we've seen can be fired at the two slits and actually split, come together, and end up as one particle again at the end. That location no longer applies. And what we're going to find out is all these things actually apply to the realm of the Spirit. How many know there's no time limitation in the realm of the Spirit? There's no location limitation in the realm of the Spirit. They follow spiritual laws. But here's what really becomes the most bizarre aspect of that whole thing. And is the number one question in all of nuclear or quantum physics today. Is they found out that nuclear particles act one way in their natural environment, but if you look at them, they act totally different. That as soon as there is in the involvement of the consciousness of man, they change their behavior. Y'all ready for this? You doing okay now, Sharon? Now, what I'm teaching you is not theory. This is proven fact. This is not theory of evolution. These are measured results on particles. When you get down to that micro level, they're made up or they follow the laws of a different heaven. And you remember Paul said, I saw things in the third heaven that's not allowed for me to see. I believe God has said there's a level I will not let man look into. There's a set of operations I'm not going to let man see into. And what they found out is with that two-slit experiment and many other experiments similar, they found out when a man tries to look at how that electron is going through both slits, all of a sudden, instead of making an interference pattern, it just forms two lines. And what happens is they all became particles again. Is it something through the consciousness of man interacting with the quantum operations, it shut down the quantum laws. That natural man trying to look in the supernatural realm virtually shut down supernatural operations. Oh, that was a good statement. I don't know if y'all caught that or not. But natural man trying to look into the supernatural realm shut down the operations of the supernatural. So if you want to look at the supernatural, you better get supernaturally minded. And they repeated this over and over, and they call it the collapse of the wave function. That every time man interacts in whatever fashion, whatever measurement, whatever faction, whatever effort to try to view what's going on in that realm. See, when they shoot the particle, they know it came out as a single particle. Are you following me? When it hits the back screen, that back screen represents a measurement where it landed. It lands as a single particle. But in between, it acted like a wave. Between the two measuring operations, it acted like a particle. But in between, it acted as a supernatural force. And they're finding out that all of creation is made up of a supernatural wave operation that man is not permitted to look into. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden when man fell, Adam ate of that, you know, tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God said, we got to kick man out of here lest he eat of the tree of life and live forever. And so as they kicked man out of the garden, they placed what, two flaming cherubim with flaming swords at the entrance, or however it was described, and they said man could no longer go back into that garden. Well, see, I believe in the Garden of Eden, man operated as much or more on a spiritual level than he did a natural level. They were clothed with the glory. In the Garden of Eden, there was interaction, interface between the spirit and the natural. Man had access to the quantum effects, the spiritual effects. When he was kicked out, he was barred from tasting or operating in that realm again. See, I believe where man has tried to look into that realm of the subatomic world and try to examine what it's... They can watch the results, but they can't see it happen. Because as soon as they try to see it happen, it changes what it does. Aaron, come up here a minute. Layla, come here a minute. Come here a minute. All right. Aaron, I want you to start right here. You happy today? All right, you turn this direction, and I want you to start right there, okay? Now, I want everybody. He's right there, right? Everybody, close your eyes. Close your eyes now, Aaron. Come over here. Open your eyes. Now he started as Aaron, he ended as Aaron. Every time you looked, he was Aaron, right? All right. Now we're going to do it again. Go back to where you were. Everybody close your eyes. Aaron, you come here and open your eyes. And open your eyes, if you could see what was going on, he was really actually Layla in between. Are you following me? As soon as you open your eyes, he becomes Aaron again. That they found that matter itself acts one way when man looks at it and another way when you don't. That as soon as the consciousness of man, thank you guys for your help, as soon as the consciousness of man gets involved in interacting with matter, it changes the way it operates. And I believe what it is. I don't know if y'all follow what I'm about to say or not. I believe it's the gate to the Garden of Eden that got put over that realm. He told Paul, he said, you've looked into the realm of the Spirit. You can't go back and tell people how this works. They're going to get how it works out of the Word, not out of your witness here. In the same way, God is saying, I'm not going to let man look in that realm. As soon as they look, I'm going to shut it down by the Spirit of God. It's going to change its operation. See, science has found out that all of life and all the universe operates by these quantum laws. That, you know how they would shoot the electrons through the two slits and it would act like a wave? They found that if it did not act like a wave, we could not have life, we could not have existence. It could not exist. They found out that these quantum laws govern everything that takes place. You know, our computers operate by the quantum laws. That you can't have any life whatsoever without that wave function being in existence. But as soon as man tries to isolate one piece of it and look at it, how is it working? That wave function disappears and it acts like a whole other substance that cannot support life. Natural man cannot look into the realm of the Spirit and see the workings of the Spirit. The Spirit of God shuts it down to our observance. Now I'm curious if they get a Holy Spirit filled Christian full of the Holy Ghost and look at those devices, if they can look at it or not. If you take a spiritual man and look into it, maybe it's a natural mind that shuts it down, not the spiritual mind. I don't know. I don't know if they've tried it or not. But I personally believe that God has shut down our ability to see that realm. But the point is, it does exist. Everything that makes up all matter is made up of a spiritual substance that follows spiritual laws. But as long as we're bound by the natural, it only follows natural laws. Did y'all catch that? Amen. Now, can I show one more video to you tonight? Is this okay with you? Let's go to this last video. And we may run a little bit over tonight, but it'll be worth it. That should have blown every circuit breaker you have. But let me just explain that in this fashion. In the realm of the Spirit, there's no such thing as location or limit to location. How many know God is omnipresent? When you get to that realm, things can be in multiple locations, yet still be one particle, as he said. Now, he mentioned that, I don't know if you caught it the first one, the things slowed down, but he talked about entanglement. And entanglement is something they found out at that level, that when two particles come in contact or created simultaneously, they become entangled. It's the term they have. And if you take one particle, you send one clear to one side of the city, one end of the United States, the other to the other end of the United States, that if you do something to affect one particle, the other reacts in the same fashion instantaneously. That there's some form of communication that operates instantaneously between the two, or there's a connection between the two that's not limited by time and speed. And therefore, this applies to every realm of the quantum level. That whatever you do to one affects the other. Now, first of all, let me tell you that I believe this is a spiritual law in itself, and it's called covenant. Covenant says you affect one, you affect the body. Amen? And God has connected us as the body of Christ, all members one of another, individual, but yet one. But we all operate as a unit. And God put covenant in the very basic building blocks of matter. That what you do to one, the other responds to. Now, to tell you some of the ramifications of this would be that you've got heard of Beam Me Up Scotty, right? You know, where they teleport. Did you know they're actually doing that now? Not beaming people up, but they're beaming particles. They're finding out through this entanglement, what you can do is if you take one particle and you cause it to come in contact with another particle, you can send that one particle to another location and affect this one, and this one responds. So it becomes a way to transfer information without limitation to space and time. And they found out now they're starting to teleport or transfer information. That they've now teleported photons, that a photon will be in one location, they can cause the same photon to appear somewhere else, and this one will disappear. Instantaneously. That in that realm, we've already found space does not exist at that level. Right? Neither does time. Time has no limitation at that level. Now, let me explain this entanglement for a second, how I see it operating. See, Patty, stand up and help me. Patty and I won't say we're entangled, that give the wrong image, but we're married. We're married. You follow me? And no matter how far apart we get, her and I are still married. And there's a connection in the realm of the Spirit between us. Now understand, when we saw the flat land, we saw that a realm above another realm has authority over the realm beneath it. And I believe all of us are connected to that realm of the Spirit, that in entanglement, when something happens into one, through covenant entanglement, the connection that we have is spiritual. It actually transcends distance. Even though we're this far apart in the natural, we're still like this in the Spirit. And what happens to one happens to the other instantaneously. That's how it happens with particles. That there's a spirit-to-spirit connection through entanglement that transcends time and location. God, thank you, Patty. God put His laws as the blueprint of all of the particles of creation. Now, if you go on the internet and study quantum mechanics, in fact, I've typed in quantum mechanics and God, quantum mechanics, spirituality, quantum mechanics, scripture, to see what's being written out there from a biblical standpoint regarding the quantum realm, which they've proven quantum is true. There's very little out there stated from a biblical standpoint. Oh, there's some out there, but there's a whole lot stated from a spiritual standpoint. Do you know Satan recognizes the existence of the quantum? He knows about it. Don't know he can look into it either, but he knows about it. And he's got his forces out there recognizing it and starting to proclaim it and preach it and declare that it proves God, but it's their God it's proving. Amen. It's New Age things they're starting to try to connect it to versus the spiritual. Every time there's a new discovery taking place scientifically, Satan's there first to try to take it over, so Christians will be afraid to look into it. So Christians will be afraid to, oh, that's, I can't look at that because that's New Agey. You know, that's what they said about faith. It was too New Age, you know, faith preachers. Name it and claim it. They try to connect it to, you know, humanism and everything else. I'm telling you, this quantum area is going to prove the veracity, the truth of the Word of God and the rules of God. There are scientists out there saying they can't explain it, but our words affect the realm of the quantum. That when man gets involved in that realm, it changes its activity and it lines up to the words we speak. They've done proof, scientific experiments, and proved that our words change how matter functions. So if you go out there studying this, don't let the New Age stuff scare you off or draw you in. This is all biblical in basis. So spit out the sticks and receive the good and recognize God has given us authority in this realm. Did you guys get anything out of this tonight? All right. Y'all praise God, because it's probably the last night in this series we're going to talk about spiritual physics to any great level. Well, we'll do three heavens next time. But from a nuclear level basis, amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this creation. You hold all things together by the word of your power. I thank you. You said it's through Jesus all things consist. I thank you, Lord God. You said in Hebrews 11 that you frame the ages, frame the cosmos by the word of your power. We thank you, Lord God, that you're causing us to understand how the things of the Spirit operate, so we can operate in them to a higher level, and we refuse to limit ourselves to natural analysis. We thank you, we give you praise, in Jesus' name. Amen.